estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
Very big.
Yes.
When we talk about wills and we talk about putting beneficiaries on things, things of that nature, what are some things that life insurance, stuff like that, what are some things that people need to be aware of when developing their estate plan?
So when it comes to your estate plan, I want you to think about a will, potentially a trust, and beneficiaries. Those are like the core components. So a will is like the bare bones. You don't necessarily, if you're 25 years old, you ain't got no kids, you ain't got nothing, you don't necessarily need a will, right? Well, let's start even before that. Beneficiaries, right? So no matter what, even if you are 21 years old, you got a bank account, you got an estate. You got life insurance, you have an estate. You know, so put your mama, your cousin, your best friend, your sister, your brother as a beneficiary on your bank account, on your life insurance policy, if you have one. That way, if something should happen to you, that is what estate planning looks like when you really don't have much, but it's still something. But you want to be mindful, because if someone is a beneficiary on your bank account, let's just say you put them on when you're 25, your sister, and then at 35, you've got kids and a significant other. Like, and you have a will and all of other stuff, but you never updated that form. If something should happen to you, what's on your beneficiary's form trumps everything else. It doesn't matter what's in your will or your trust. So that's really important. I remember, like, so my husband, when I met him, he had a daughter already. She was 7. So he and her mother were together. He works for the city, so he has a pension. So the other day he was like, babe, my friend is trying to figure out how to change his beneficiaries on his pension. And I was like, all right, well, you know, let's update. Well, let me show you how to log in, because I do all of our financial stuff. So we log in, change the beneficiaries. And I'm like, hold up. It don't say Tiffany on here. It said baby moms on here. Now, don't get me wrong. Me and baby moms is real cool, but not that cool. I said, bruh, if you would have died and left your pension to her, I would have had to raise you up from the dead, kill you back dead again. But I just say all that to say that, like, it's so important to make sure those forms are up to date. So then, next level, will. If you have children, you have to have a will. Who do you want to raise your children? It's not enough to be like, oh, that's my godmother. No. Legally, you have to assign, because you know us.
That's definitely the conversation.
Yes. Like, oh, that's your grandma. If something happened to me, no. And this is all in my big with money. And so yes, you want to make sure that you have, you legally have some papers drawn up to say, this is what happens to my minor children when I'm not here. Because let's just say you're Muslim, right? And your parents are Christian, and you really don't want your parents to raise your kids or your sister to raise your kids, because you want your kids to be raised in a Muslim household. So you really want your brother, you know? But if you want that to happen, you have to put that down. So a will is bare bones, but a will is not going to save you from probate court. You know, you are still going to pay them taxes, right? But I will say this, if you have a trust, is not for someone. I would even consider a trust because of the cost, unless you have at least $100,000 in assets, right? Because $20,000, it doesn't make sense for the cost of a trust. Now, if you have assets of $500,000 or over, you must have a trust, because the amount of money you're going to lose in probate court, plus probate court is embarrassing. It's like ringside seats to, like, oh, how much Ian got? Oh, okay. Oh, Ian got what? Exactly. You know what I mean? And so that part is important. So a trust, what makes a trust so special is that a trust locks things away behind closed doors, so no one can see unless you decide to share, unlike a will where everybody can see. But also, trust is like a person that never dies. When money passes from one person to another person because of death, there's a tax involved. But a trust is like this person that doesn't die. So money, if it's held or your assets are held there, even if you pass, the trust stays alive. Even if someone else passes, the trust stays alive. So you don't have to worry about the tax incurred going from person to person. But you want to be mindful what kind of trust that you want to have, an irrevocable trust or a revocable trust. An irrevocable means that it cannot be broken or changed unless everyone who's involved in the trust says okay, right? So for example, Kobe Bryant had an irrevocable trust, right? So the problem was that he and his wife, when their children turned one, they added that child to the trust. But we all know he passed away when his baby was still younger than one. So she was not in that trust. All of that wealth he had set aside. So she had to petition the courts to say, I know this is irrevocable, but let's be real. Kobe would not want the baby not to be in here. So they granted her that. So you just want to be mindful, you know, what kind of trust you want to have. But estate planning, we tend not to do it, but it's actually more expensive not to, you know, like it just is. And so if you have just a little bit of something, you want to put something down, you want to get it notarized, and you want to fund it and sign it. So if something happens to you, everybody knows what your desires are. Don't be like Prince.
Yeah, and it prevents all the fighting at the repass as well.
I just wanted to add one thing to that, because everything you said was right on point. And me as a financial advisor, one of the things when I first came into the industry is this guy, they was speaking and they was talking about a guy that worked a job for like 30 years, had like a big pension and all of that. And, you know, he got divorced like 20 years ago and had a new wife and, you know, had like three kids and all of that. And when he died, he never updated his his beneficiary. And like you said, the beneficiary supersedes everything.
Yep.
And it's no negotiation, nothing you can do about it. So it went to his ex-wife and she kept it.
She didn't have to give it up. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, well, so sad, too bad.
Yeah. So you have to update your beneficiaries, and everything should have a beneficiary, including bank accounts. And then also what you speak about as far as the trust is extremely important. The irrevocable trust. I spoke about the ILIP before, which is the irrevocable life insurance trust. And I love how you say a trust is a person that can't die, because that's really true. It's treated like an outside entity as a person. So, you know, especially when we have more advanced conversations about tax shelter, because life insurance can actually add to an estate planning problem, because the money goes into your estate. So if your estate is worth $3 million and you have a $2 million life insurance policy, now when you die, your estate is worth $5 million. So that can actually be counterproductive, because it's going to add to your tax bill. So that's why sometimes people will put the life insurance in a trust, because now that $2 million is not part of the estate. It's out of the estate. And it still goes to the beneficiaries tax-free, because the life insurance is tax-free. So yeah, everything that you speak about is extremely important. And like you said, it's not something, unfortunately, that we have really thought about a lot of. It's like, yeah, most of the time it's just like, all right, figure it out when you die. And then, you know, that leads to all kinds of issues. And as you said, it's actually more expensive not to have it mentally and financially, because mentally, you know, family members got to fight, breaks up families all the time. It's pretty common. You know, your grandmother has a house and then there's like four kids and they're fighting over the house. So all of this stuff, we talk about stocks, we talk about investing, all of that.
The fundamentals are critical. That's great.
Well, yeah, you got to have the fundamentals down.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop. A mic drop, bag drop.
When you're with Amex Business Platinum, you have the card that works just as hard as you do. You give 150% to your business, and so does your card. With 1.5 times membership rewards points on select purchases, you earn rewards that can take your business further. And with complimentary access to more than 1,400 lounges globally, including the Centurion Lounge, you can stay up to speed no matter where your business takes you. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice, up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.